Good morning, church. Thank you all for joining us for worship. Thank you for giving us a second. Once again, in this COVID world, we're always doing a little Tetris with our seating and making sure we're socially distant and masked up. But thank you all. You have done a wonderful job so far, and we're so grateful for all of your flexibility. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget, elders will meet in the church tomorrow at 7 p.m. And then I want to give big thanks once again for Carolyn and our CEC for hosting our Zoom Sunday School once again this morning. We had a great time, watched some great videos about creation and the flood, and looked at Noah's Ark in Kentucky and what that looks like, and that was really cool to see. So our next Zoom Sunday School is, remember, we're on that every other week schedule, so it will be November 1st, and we'll gather at 8:30 on Zoom again. And please remember, with Zoom, their format is always changing. So now, whenever you take that link that I give you, they're going to ask you for the password. Don't panic. Our password is our church phone number. So all you got to do is type that in, and bam, you're in the meeting just like you were before. Our fall family fun night is coming up next Saturday. It'll be outside in the front parking lot from 6 to 7:30. A lot of good fun activities. You can wear costumes, pumpkin painting, treats. There's going to be a little bit of a bowling activity, and then we're going to head down to the Shenrun Village to check out their lights that they have set up for Halloween. I think it's going to be, they call it their Great Pumpkin Drive-Thru. So I think it's going to be a fun Saturday night, a great and safe way for our kids to enjoy their Halloween activities as well. And then also, I was asked to share that the village is still looking for some more pumpkins for their drive-thru. So if you have any that you would like to donate or are interested in that, see Alicia about that, and they would be happy to take any donations you have. And the last thing I want to share with you is, hopefully you got your Moravian magazine this week, and I wanted to highlight what a wonderful job our CEC did, because they were featured on page 14 and page 15 in their Hunting for Moravian History, which they set up for T County. So if you want to see pictures of some of our own kids and hear quotes from scholars like Carolyn Menapace and Missy Martin, you can turn to page 14 and 15 in your Moravian and enjoy that. That's all I have for announcements today. Let us please stand and extend the right wave of fellowship. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword for this week comes from Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Amen. No, go ahead. I'm one step ahead of you.
The first scripture today is from Psalm 96, verses 1 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among all people. For the great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come in into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all of the earth. The second scripture is Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him among the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, he said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied, and he said to them, give Caesar's what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
Thank you, Letitia. As far as our liturgy of reflection, we're actually going to move that. I'm going to give you a reflective question after our sermon. I'm just going to ask you to write for, and we're going to go ahead and head into our prayer time at this time. In our prayers, we have a lot to uplift and a lot to share with God this week. First and foremost, we share prayers of joy this week in our household. Emily's brother, Evan, was happily married this past week to his fiancée, Shandy Murphy, at a small ceremony at Shenick Moravian in Nazareth. So we celebrate with the happy couple as they were wedded on Thursday and celebrate and rejoice with them that this day has finally come. Many of you know that we've been praying this for a while. Shandy was very close to getting her fiancé visa from Canada secured right before the pandemic hit. So we did not know how long it was going to take for this moment to come. So we're very, very happy for them. And then prayers of joyful resurrection, or excuse me, prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope for the family of Riker Anzo. He was a student at Indian Valley who passed away unexpectedly a week ago. He's a 16-year-old. He was good friends. The Anzos are very good friends of Jackie and Scott Porter. So we surround this family, the Indian Valley School and staff, and this time in prayer. It is very difficult with so many young people who have passed in our surrounding school districts lately. And then we remember this week one of our members, Joe Northrup, as we celebrate his life and resurrection hope with a graveside service of remembrance that will take place on October 23rd at 1:30 at Ridgecrest. Tim and Linda invite any in the congregation who want to pay their respects to attend the service. We are going to remember a wonderful man who is a valued and respected and joyful member of our congregation. And please bring a mask. And I think, Joe, I would be remiss if I didn't say please cheer for the Cleveland Browns today in honor of Joe, because this is one of his favorite rivalry games. And it's the first time it matters since I've lived here. So we will be cheering on with Joey today. We continue to pray for our health, safety, and peace of our world. We pray for the many people who continue to be impacted by COVID-19. We think especially of the I think 7 states I heard on the news that have seen their highest case totals ever. So we continue to pray for our schools and our school districts as well as they try to navigate this crazy world that we are living in. And once again, remember, we will share many more prayer concerns with you on our slides. And if you have any prayer concerns that you would like to personally share, please write them out on your whiteboard at this time. And please make sure you share them with Deline after worship, or text her, or give her a call, or give me a call, and let us know about that prayer concern as well. So let us take some time to reflect on the joys and concerns that we uplift to God.
Sometimes the night was beautiful, sometimes the sky was so far away, sometimes it seemed distant, so close, you could touch it but your heart would break. Sometimes the morning came too soon, sometimes the day could be so hard. There was so much work left to do, but so much you'd already done. So
anyone have some prayer concerns they'd like to share at this time? We'll lift your friend in prayer at this time, Paige. We'll lift your cousin in prayer at this time, Millie. Definitely. Let us take some time in silence and welcome God in this time of prayer. Gracious God, there are so much on our hearts and minds this week. But as we reflect on the busyness and craziness of our weeks and our world, may we feel the sunshine that echoes through the windows. And remember, that sunshine is you reaching out to us, caring for us, loving us, reminding us that you are a warm and strong presence in our lives. Gracious God, we pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of love, friendship, those wrestling with addictions and other demons and mental illness and so many other challenges in our world. Help us, God, show those people that you are a God who is working for us and through us every single day. Give us, when we have the chance, the opportunity to reach out and care for each other, because we never know when ourselves will need that care as well. And as we come before you today, we remember that there are things we do for our country, there are things we do for our city, but everything we do is an act for God, and we are so grateful for that. So as we celebrate the joy of resurrection hope that has been lifted to many, we remember the personal connection that we will celebrate on Friday with Joe, a friend to so many in our congregation, and a personal reminder that your gift is for those we love, and we can celebrate and rejoice in that. So as we come before you today, we remember the words of Psalm 96, to shout to the Lord with joy. Because no matter what comes our way, with faith, hope, and love, you, God, will guide us to the ultimate joy there is. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn to a time of reflective offering. No offering plate going around, but once again, we want to continue to thank those of you who continue to step up with your giving, and we are so grateful to have a church that continues to care about giving back to not just our church, but to our community. So as we listen to our offertory, I ask you to think about what you can give to your community and to your world of your tithes, your offerings, and your gifts that God has blessed you with.
Let us pray. Benevolent Savior, help us to remember that we are not called to give to your church, but to our community and to our world as well. May all our gifts be given to build your kingdom. Amen.
So for our children's chat today, I'm going to come down so I can be able to read your whiteboards a little bit. So kids, I'm going to ask you to pull out your whiteboards at this time and give you a chance to reflect. Because today what we're going to talk about are symbols. Symbols can be very important things in our lives. And Jesus in our gospel text talked about a coin with an image of Caesar is on the coin. And I'm sure all of you have had a quarter or a nickel or a dime, and you've seen the picture of somebody important, usually a president
or different historical figures on those chains, because it lets us know what signifies what is important to the people who carry those. So I want to talk about some important symbols that I've seen in my world and in my life, and some big, some small. So if you've seen this symbol, can you tell me what school or city is this symbol important to? Write it on your whiteboard. Let me see what you got. What school or city is this guy important to?
Amen.
now turn our attention to our message today. Give me one sec to get mic'd up again. All right. Why don't we take another moment in prayer? Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say, and please bless the meditations of our heart as we listen to what God has to say to each and every one of us in a personal and universal way. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you haven't been living under a rock, you know that we are less than a month away from a pretty important presidential election. And if you found a way to avoid that or not hear anything about it, please give me some tips on how you did it and let the rest of us know how you were able to avoid all those political ads. Because when we look at our world right now, the only thing that seems certain right now is that this will be one of the most contested and bitter elections in American history. And there's a lot of anxiety and angst floating in the air about what will happen to our country the day after the election. Regardless of which candidate wins, the angst still exists for both. Will our country be able to remain peaceful when all this anger and frustration that we are experiencing finally hits a crescendo? That's the big million-dollar question right now. But when we say the world is never as divided as it is now, we reveal just how little we know about the history of our country and our world. Politics has existed since the day a serpent crawled on its belly and told a young man and a young woman to take a bite from an apple and become immortal. And guess what? The approach to people who worship money and power really has not changed much since that first interaction. Because people who worship money and power, they don't tell people to be grateful for what they have. They tell them they will never be happy until you get what they claim you need in your life. Maybe it was something you didn't even know you needed until they said you needed it. That's the evil side of politics. That's the side of politics none of us like. And Jesus himself, he is caught in the middle of a large political storm because he is teaching to an audience that contains Herodians and Pharisees, two very, very different political perspectives. On the Electoral College map, he's got Texas farmers on one side, and he's got California hippies on the other side, trying to figure out what the middle ground is. So theologian Peter Lockhart said these are two very different groups. The Herodians were the loyalists to occupied Rome. These were the people that got powerful because they were willing to be loyal to the new occupier. But the Pharisees, they still were very proud people. They still believed and the superiority of the Jewish people. They looked down on the people that oppressed them. They felt that they were going to win it all, no matter what the cost at some point, because they were just better. They were holier to God. So no matter how Jesus answered this question, he was going to be wrong to half of his audience. And I want you to think about this. I'll give you another scenario. Imagine you are a colonial representative. I've got a young man in our house who's learning quite a bit about U.S. history right now. And I want you to remember and think about what would happen if you were hosting a town hall that happened in 1775, just a few short years before our Declaration of Independence. And I want you to picture that half of that room were soldiers and emissaries of King George. And the other half were the people you lived with who were upset and frustrated with British rule. And someone is nice enough to get up and ask you, should the colonies break away from Great Britain? And you're the lucky person that has to answer that question. And if you answer yes to that question, you will be hanged for being disloyal to the crown. And if you answer no to that question, Well, as soon as those kings and those emissaries leave, you're going to get a good old-fashioned tar and feathering from the people you were supposed to care about, the people you were supposed to love. This is the political pressure that Jesus is facing in this world around him. But Jesus is the Messiah, the true Christ, and he finds a way out. Matthew 22:21 said, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God." Jesus rejects the extremism of his day. And it is clear that Christ believes that neither side holds the absolute truth. There are no good guys and bad guys. There's only people with different opinions and different stances. And one of my favorite quotes comes from a wise writer who said, "It is important to remember that in an argument where two sides argue passionately that they have the one true answer and the other side is completely wrong, that both sides could be wrong. Both sides could be wrong. Because Christ could be leading us to a third way, a better way, a way that none of us ever imagined." So if any of us sitting here see our political party or politician we support as the only possible solution to saving our country, we become part of the problem. Because it is okay to put your trust in political parties and politicians, but your salvation at the end of the day belongs to Christ alone, regardless of who we decide to vote for. And the concept of moderation is becoming a concept of the past. We can no longer sit down with one another and live in harmony. And we forget that's not the way it's always been. And I think I was actually doing some research on this week, and I was touched to hear about the close personal friendship that existed between President Ronald Reagan and the Democratic Speaker of the House at that time, Tip O'Neill. And now, during the political climate of the day, Tip and Ronald Reagan would spend their day fighting about their policies and their procedures. But they had what I would call a 6 o'clock friendship. When the day was done, when the battle was done, they would gather for dinners, drinks, and hang out and be friends. And it's just amazing that they could just let it go and just remember at the end of the day, their friendship was so important. And those two developed such a strong, close friendship that when Ronald Reagan was shot, the first politician to be in his room was the Democratic Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, because they were true friends, regardless of their politics. We have examples of people who can lay down their politics and love one another, and that is the example that we should follow as well. So we have to challenge ourselves in this extreme world that we live in where people tell us we're either on one side or the other side and everybody else who opposes us is our enemy. Because I want you to think about, do you have one or two people in your life who have different politics and opinions than you that you care about, that you invest in, that you actually take the time to understand their perspective? And what about, do you listen to news outlets or political commentators on a different network than the one you usually watch every day when you turn on the television in the morning or the afternoon or wherever? Because chances are, if you aren't listening to people who think differently than you once in a while, you are living your life in an echo chamber, believing that the people who think differently than you really are like the Facebook memes and the meme posts that other people share that you see on the internet. And you forget that the people you disagree with are real human beings, created exactly in the image of God as you are. They just happen to think a little differently than you do. So at the end of the day, we have to realize that Caesar is not perfect. And our politicians and our political systems are not perfect either. So when it comes to our politics, we should be humble people. Because guess what? Every political party and every political system that has existed in this world have all tried to cure the problems of the world, and they have all failed. No one has had the perfect solution. There's only one being on this planet that can claim to have universal truth. There's only one being that will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Yet Jesus is not prideful or arrogant about what he can do for us, but you know what he decided to do instead? He humbly laid down his life for each and every one of us. Jesus could have chose as much power as he wanted, but he chose sacrifice instead. So when we think about when it's time to give to Caesar and Jesus and how to balance those two things, we must carry this clear truth in our minds that our taxes may always go to Caesar or to the government, but our hearts, our salvation, our belief in God will always belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter who we put on our ballot box at the end of the day, because our hearts, these are what important, and these belong to Jesus. And Jesus will take care of us and wipe every tear from our eyes as we celebrate the resurrection hope that he offers us daily. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you and just ask as a country and a world to just take a second and breathe in deeply your love. And before we reach for hate or judgment for people who think differently than us, help us take a second and remember that they are created in the image of God as well. They are just as holy as we are holy. And that the more we take care of one another, the more we listen to one another, the better this planet will be. Because there is no one perfect solution. But we are lucky to have a perfected Savior who cares for us, who loves us, and sacrifices himself for us. So may we all be united at the feet of his cross, not as Republicans or Democrats, as Ohioans or Michigan people, but just know that we are children of God, and we are so lucky to have that Savior caring us and loving us. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. So before we turn to our hymn, I'm going to ask you, as the last part of the sermon, this is our Liturgy of Reflection part, I'm not going to ask you to share it this time this week. What I want you to do is, some of you may have whiteboards, some of you may have a list mentally right now. What I want you to do is take a minute or two, and I want you to think about people in your life who think differently than you, that you care about, that you love. And if it helps, I want you to list them and think about those people and pray for those people. Not so they think like you, but just to remember that there are people who think differently than us that we care about and love about. Then hopefully that will help some of the extremism that it so easily develops in our world. So take a minute in reflection and just think about the people in your life who think differently than you, that you truly care about and love. And you will not share this publicly. This will just be for you.
another 15 seconds.
So as you have your list, some of you may even still be working on it. So I encourage you to just take a last glance at that list, whether it was a mental list or a physical list you wrote out. And I want you to pray for these people throughout your week, people who think differently from you. Because these next 3.5 weeks are going to be a lot of passion and a lot of anger from both sides. And we're going to have to remind ourselves to take a step back, to take a deep breath, and remember that even when there's people we disagree with who frustrate us and make us angry, that they are as holy as we are holy. They are created in the image of God, just like we are created in the image of God. So we must love one another and care for one another. Not out of duty, but because God calls us to be those people, to build his community, to build his loving neighborhood. Amen. So you may delete this list at this time. You do not want to share it publicly. And now we turn our attention to a hymn that reminds us that in times of trials and tribulations, that God is truly with us and watching us. As we listen to hymn number 751, God of Grace and God of Glory. God, grant us wisdom and courage for these coming days. I'll offer the words of benediction now, and then once again, I'll invite families to be dismissed after them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you all for who have joined us for worship in person and online. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and thank you for joining us. At this time, I'll now invite families to be dismissed. Castor family, you can go ahead. Swaldo family, go ahead. Tim and Linda, go ahead. Martin family, go ahead. Swinderman, go ahead. Swinderman Wright, excuse me. Becky, McKenna, and Jacob, go ahead. Doug and Angie, go ahead. All right, Alicia, I'm going to pay for that one. Mitch and Sharon, go ahead. Jean Ann, go ahead. Randy and Millie, go ahead. Madam Payson, go ahead.